1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, the White Sox are World Series contenders, and believe it or not, thanks in part to Tony La Russa. We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Jose Canseco. We talk with him about his new invention, the PX 4040, his boxing career, his recovery from surgery, and yes, his feud with A-Rod. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no games with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find him online at ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com, and make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. This is a thought exercise in Chicago sports media. I want you to play along here. In November, when the White Sox hired Tony La Russa, here were some of the headlines that were written about him. Quote, the White Sox hired Tony La Russa for all the wrong reasons. The needless Tony La Russa hiring yields more needless controversy. Tony La Russa is wrong for the White Sox. Tony La Russa continues to be the wrong manager for the White Sox. This was in November. Look at this one now. A couple of days ago, inspired manager Tony La Russa guides the White Sox to a 54-35 record going into the break. Quote, his personality suits us incredibly well, as Adam Engel, whose three-run homer in the 10th, proved to be the difference against Baltimore. Hold on a second. I thought La Russa was wrong for the White Sox. I thought you were going to be cast into Twitter jail if you said you liked Tony La Russa. I should know. But he was hired. I said, great hire for the White Sox, and I was lambasted, torn apart, told I'm crazy, told I'm wrong, told I know nothing about baseball. But now the narrative is, he's inspired, good man, guiding the team, winning record. All these injuries, they still win. All I could do is sit back and laugh. I never understood why there was so much animosity towards this hiring. I get it. Jerry Reinsdorf stepped in, intruded on Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams, but could you blame him? It is his team, first of all, but secondly, and most importantly, he knew deep down only La Russa would be great. Everybody gave him a chance, and no one did. To La Russa's credit, and I can't even believe he said this, quote, all the questions that were asked were fair. LaRussa said, noting the noise and pushback that surrounded his hiring in October for a second go-around with the White Sox. He's a bigger man than me. I'd be calling out people left and right. I don't think any of this is fair. I don't think any of it was fair. He may say that to save face publicly to make the team look good, but it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair to judge somebody for being a Hall of Fame manager. I'm talking about on the field, not off the field, on the field. It looked as if White Sox fans were ungrateful. I'm just telling it like it is. You aren't happy that your team hired a Hall of Fame manager. He's too old. He's Reinsdorf's pick. So what? There's always a bottom line in sports. It's simple. Do you want to win? That's simple. Do you want to win or not? Who gives you the best chance to win? Say what you want. But Tony La Russa has given the White Sox the best chance to win. Funny part is, too, I still see the same detractors not give him credit. I thought we were supposed to admit when we're wrong. I do. No. We're going to find every little flaw, expose him, and bash him, even though our team is 20 games above 500. That was like a couple of months ago. People were actually making a big deal that the White Sox's Pythagorean win-loss didn't line up with their actual win-loss. Oh, they lost two more games than they should have. That's La Russa's fault. No, it's not. The animosity, the hatred, the nonsense spewed on Twitter, spewed on social media, spewed by writers who cover the game each and every day is ridiculous. I read you the headlines. I told you what was said. I told you how the media covered this thing from the beginning and how they shifted that quick. I'm all for being skeptical. I'm all for not giving out praise when it's not warranted, but what I'm not for is negativity from the beginning and then continued negativity even when the opposite is happening. Everyone opposed it. No one wanted it. No one liked it. I want AJ Hinch. Well, how's that working in Detroit? Anybody? Can't hear you. That's what I thought. I know they don't have the same roster, but Tony La Russa is bonded with these players. They like him. Adam Engel said it. His personality suits us incredibly well. Not just well, not just he's a good guy, incredibly well. Because everybody realizes he's a winner. Even if you don't agree with what he's done off the field, if you don't agree with some of his tactics, might be too old school, he's a winner. It's a bottom line. Do you want to win? Are you interested in winning? Are you in the business of winning? That's simple. And time again, I see the same people who prefer their pick to winning. I prefer my guy to reality. When there's one mistake, he's taken down. When they win, nothing is said. He may not have been your guy, but if you win the World Series, what's going to be said? Your team is 54-35, and you have injuries galore. We're talking about major pieces out of the lineup. You just DFA'd Adam Eaton. No right fielder, countless injuries, you're 19 games over. You're winning 60% of your games with nobody. Everyone's hurt. And what a surprise, still not good enough. Got a flawless lineup. I mean, everybody, you look down and up this lineup, everybody with an OPS plus above 100. That's still standing today. I did a video 2 weeks ago, said that. Still standing. Great rotation. My goodness, Lance Lynn, Carlos Rodon, having outstanding seasons. Liam Hendricks lived up to his name. This is a great baseball team. A 98% chance to make the postseason. 98. When's the last time the White Sox were in that position? But nope. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that at the All-Star break, they're 8 games up. Doesn't matter that they're running away with this division and with the American League. They have one of the best records in the American League. Does not make a difference to some people. It doesn't make a difference to people. My question is, what more do you want? Your team's winning. And it seems like to me, on the outside looking in, this has turned into a spiteful relationship. I don't like Tony La Russa because I don't like him. But they're winning. I don't care. You can't have the manager become bigger than the team. Some people are subjecting La Russa and making him bigger than the team. That's unnecessary. Credit where credit is due. Criticism where criticism is due. Hasn't been much to criticize. Not when you're 19 games over and you have countless injuries. Not when you're 8 games up with countless injuries. There exists every reason in the world for this team to fail today. And for everybody to be all over Reinsdorf and La Russa. And guess what? Hasn't happened. Hasn't happened. If you're a true fan of White Sox baseball, you should be happy about this. How long have you waited for this team to be a real contender? For them to actually make a serious run? For them not to be some rebuilding trash heap at the bottom of the division? Embrace it. You're at the All-Star break. Embrace this team. Embrace your manager. No one's perfect. I'm not saying you have to love the guy. I'm saying you have to give him credit when it's due. And for some, it's still hard to do that. Some people are waiting and hoping for a collapse. So they could pin it all on La Russa, say they were right, say Reinsdorf and La Russa were the problem. All of these writers who said Tony La Russa continues to be the wrong manager for the White Sox, the needless Tony La Russa hiring yields more needless controversy. The White Sox hired Tony La Russa for all the wrong reasons. All of these people want the White Sox to fail. What's the motivation for writing up those articles, for using those headlines? I don't see another one. Oh, unless you're caving to public opinion and not having a thought of your own. He is not favored by anybody. He is not liked by many. But guess what? He wins. He brings results to the table year in and year out, wherever he goes. Not just here, before too. So again, I ask, do you want to win? Are you in the business of winning or allowing personal vendettas to consume your life? That's what you have to ask yourself. Do you want to win? Are you interested in the White Sox for the bottom line reason you want them to win a World Series? Or do you like them because you like them and you're a fair weather fan and you're going to let a personal grudge overtake a legendary run by this team? It's the All-Star break. The team's off. This is your chance to hop on now and realize what's going on here. This is a historic run and a good team. They're doing this without their best players. Can you imagine what happens when Aloy returns? Luis Robert returns. They're going to be a great team. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And remember, trade deadline isn't over. There have been reports that they actually want Trevor Story. Trevor Story may come to the White Sox. And you're still going to sit here and hold on to some petty grudge? You're still going to fight and fight against this guy and say he's wrong for the team? He's been hired for all the wrong reasons. His hiring was needless. That's the best one I've heard. Needless hiring. Come on. You're better than that, too. Because I know you, White Sox fans. Seen you for years. You've toiled with your franchise at the bottom of baseball. You've seen managers come in and out. Players who were supposed to be great. Flop. You've been looking for an answer. You want this team to succeed. It's finally here. And some of you just don't get it. I don't know what to say to that. If you're not going to listen to me, if you're not going to listen to the results, at least, not even me, the results, then there's nothing that's going to convince you otherwise. That's the real shame, because this team will win a World Series, and you won't enjoy it. See, what I love about this team more than anything, they did it the right way. Homegrown players. Not all these guys are big-time superstars. They didn't do it the Cubs way and say, oh, we're going to do it Theo and Jed and sign all these guys, make this team great. No. Everyone was homegrown for the most part. All the key players on this team were homegrown. What's more rewarding than watching all these guys bloom and winning a World Series with that core? Some of you are willing to let some manager get in the way of that, even though he's been succeeding and winning. And he's done better than the guy before him and the guy before him. Reset your priorities and realize what this all means. You're watching a historic run. Don't let a personal vendetta cloud that, please. Don't let your feelings from October or November, guide your feelings today. It's almost a year ago. We can all change. We can all grow. We can all grow to like this guy, this team, what they're doing, the results. I kind of understood before. New guy didn't know what he was going to do, but the results are now here, and we have some people still not buying in. Players are buying in. Why aren't you? They're with him every day. They know what he's capable of. They know who he is as a person inside the dugout, inside the clubhouse, privately. Don't you think if they didn't like him, if they had a problem with him, it would have been public knowledge by now? Something would have been said. Something would have leaked out of the clubhouse. It would have been a huge story. That's my point. It's so obvious that this was the right move for the White Sox. Finally, we have some writers coming around to it, too. The new headlines, inspired. Manager Tony La Russa guides White Sox to a 54-35 record going into the break. Now he's inspired. Inspired. Manager Tony La Russa guides White Sox to a 54-35 record going into the break. He's not wrong for the White Sox anymore. He's not needless, not a needless hiring. He's inspired. That's correct. He is inspired. How about we give him credit? Been out of the game for 8 or 9 years. Comes back, doesn't miss a beat. You could say the roster talented, but guess what? Injuries. And that's his defense now. There have been 10 injuries, more on this team, serious ones. They've DFA'd their starting right fielder. They paid $8 million for him. Doesn't pay him. So you could use the talented roster excuse, but when none of that talent's on the field, then how do they win? This one is too apparent. It's too simple. It's too obvious. And if you're not willing to see it by this point, then you never will. And I really feel bad. You're going to miss out on a joyous World Series trip, a possible win in year one of many for this core, all because of some personal grudge and vendetta. I encourage you to use this All-Star break to really realize what's going on here. This isn't just another good team, another manager, another memorable year in Sox history. No, this could be historic. And if you don't catch it now, you don't mentally note it today, you never will. And it'll be way too late when they win the World Series. You're going to miss out on history because you don't like the manager. Think about that. It's not even the players. It's the manager. Realize what's going on here. Understand that you don't buy in. If you continue to fight this, you won't enjoy nor cherish how historic 2021 will be. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My exclusive interview with Jose Canseco comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with Joseph Lewell, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a two-time World Series champion, six-time MLB All-Star, the 1988 AL MVP. Please welcome Jose Canseco to the program. Jose, it's great to have you on again. How are you?
Well, good to be here. You caught me. I was outside. Of course, I live in Vegas. I think it's 115 today. Maybe it might be cooler, maybe. Bought a new house. Was working on landscaping, pool, pond, all kinds of stuff. I'm like a handyman out here.
What do you do? How do you maintain that stuff?
Well, I had a little storm come in last night, kind of blow some branches and trees and kind of destroyed one of my umbrellas. So fixing that, fixing the pool with pumps and the koi pond. I've got about 12 large koi in there. Again, pumps went out, so we are redoing the pump.
How are you feeling? How'd the surgery go on your shoulders?
Oh, boy. Well, right after, I don't know if people really know this, but when I did the fight, I was already hurt. I think people realize that I had knee surgery 3 months before that fight. Complex meniscus tear, they call it. So, and I had an x-ray done or MRI done right after that. I had a bicep tendon tear, rotator cuff tear. I actually went into that fight knowing that I had really no chance. I remember my box goes to him, listen, just try to throw a jab. And if you miss with that, you're going to be in trouble. So I threw a jab. When I threw a jab, I threw it so hard, I tore my pec right out of place. Like tore the belly of the actual pec muscle. So after that, it was over. I mean, the kid came at me. I moved to my right. My knee buckled. I went down. When I went down, I braced myself, completely tore my bicep tendon and my rotator. So went in for surgery right away. I'll tell you what, I've had 11 surgeries. And shoulder surgery, by far, after the surgery and before, the greatest pain I've ever had physically ever. It was just excruciating pain. Even after the surgery, it was bizarre. And then all of a sudden, after surgery, about 2-3 weeks, the pain just went away. So now I'm actually starting to rehab, get in there, get some range of motion, do some weightlifting.
When do you expect to fully recover and get back in the ring?
Well, it's going to be a while because this time I'm not going to box again without being 100% healthy.
Sure.
Meaning the knee's going to be 100%. The shoulder's going to be 100%. I've got to train for about 3 or 4 months. So I don't think people understand that I was under a time restriction about 3 weeks to get ready for this fight. And I really could get ready for it. But they insisted that I got in there. I fight. I do the best I could. I do the best I can at the time. And they kind of knew they were going to break all kind of pay-per-view records for Barstool Sports, and we did.
Could you ever see yourself fighting with them again under the Barstool label?
Absolutely. I don't see why not. I would love a rematch. I think this time it'll be a totally different match. I mean, no one basically hit anyone. He threw a couple punches and missed me completely when I was going down. I couldn't even hit him. So it was a 10-second fight, obviously. I don't even think it was a fight. It was ridiculous. And I think once I completely healthy, I'll probably fight out just turned 57, close to 58 when we'll do this fight. And I think people want to see what I can really do.
Do you have any opponents in mind? Anybody that you really want to fight?
Well, Alex Rodriguez, of course. I've always wanted to fight him. Him and I go way back. I have a big grudge against him. I'm sure he won't get in the ring. And even if I tie both arms behind my back and hop on one leg, he's that much of a chicken. But yeah, if I can get him in the ring, definitely.
Have you tried to set something up before with him?
Absolutely. He won't even listen. I told Jennifer Lopez about him. I mean, this guy's cheating on Jennifer Lopez right in front of her face. He's inviting women over his house, over Jennifer Lopez's house, when Jennifer Lopez wasn't even there. Because these women, I know them, they would call me every time they were with Alex. Every time he called my ex-wife, I would be there with my ex-wife. She would show me, look, here's Alex Rodriguez calling me again. So this guy is just I mean, what more can you want than Jennifer Lopez? And he's cheating on her left and right. It's just ridiculous.
Jose Canseco, you're on Sports Talk Chicago. Jose, how shocked or really not shocked were you when they called it quits?
Well, I said exactly when it was going to happen, how it's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you who he's with. He's going to be with a fitness model, if not my ex-wife, Jessica. I mean, people, the truth hurts. And I don't think, you know, us as humans are built to handle the truth. But I know now she was 18 years old. Him and I kind of think alike in some ways and some ways not. I know exactly what he likes in a woman. He loves young fitness models. And, you know, he's young. He's a millionaire. And I told him, she was a little kid, listen, do not get married. Do not get involved, because you're going to have so many women after. You're going to be the best player in the world. You're going to do the 40-40. He laughed at me. And look, that's what he's become. So, you know, I've known him since a very long time ago. I predicted exactly what's going to happen. I'm the one that told him, go to Texas. They're going to pay you an incredible amount of money. You have this first $250 million contract because they have a brand new ballpark and they need a draw. And he went there and they did. So, I mean, you have to understand, I just know Alex very well. I kind of know what his tendencies are. And I don't know why he got hooked up or in a relationship with Jennifer Lopez when he was never going to marry her. Can you imagine, people, what the prenup is going to look like? It's going to be a prenup of, you know, 3 feet deep, thick. And then the prenup, Jennifer Lopez has to put, Alex, if you cheat on me, every time you cheat on me, it's going to cost you $10 million. And I'm sure that once the actual sort of being serious about the wedding date or the wedding time or the conditions of the prenup, I'm sure that's when everything really fell apart.
You seemed like a good influence on him. I mean, you told him where to go, you told him what to do, and he listened to you. So where did the relationship go wrong?
Oh, when he went after my wife, Jessica, at the time. He saw her in the gym with me, and he literally said out loud. He spoke out loud. He didn't realize I was right off his right-hand side. Said, oh, my God, that's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And when her, and then he started going after her, and then when her and I got separated, I think they actually got together in some way, shape, or form. So I actually confronted him about that and asked him, listen, were you ever with my wife, Jessica? He said, no. But ironically enough, I found out later on that there was. As a matter of fact, Alex used the line. He says, I'm a man's man. I would never do that. Alex is the biggest liar I've ever seen in my life, the biggest hypocrite I've ever seen in my life. When Alex tells you I'm a man's man, I would never do that, you know he's lying.
What if you set up a fight for charity? Do you think he'd be willing to do that if you guys donated money to charity and did a fight with him? Would you be open to that?
He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it if I gave him the lion's share, if I gave him the whole money. He just wouldn't do it. It would be too embarrassed to let a guy of my age whoop him in the ring. And let me tell you, I would, because, again, I would not fight under the same conditions I fought last time. I don't think I fought healthy, period, in any of my boxing matches or any of my MMA that I did against Hung Man Choi. I had a really bad knee. So I would definitely go in 100% healthy and 100% trained.
What about age, though? He is younger than you. Should that be a problem?
No, it would not be a problem. Not if I'm healthy and if I train hard enough. No.
How quickly would you knock him out?
I don't know. I mean, Alex is an athlete now. He's a big guy, about 6'3". I would say Alex is about 6'3", about 230. And now he's talking about training, weightlifting. He wants to get rid of his dad body. I don't know. I mean, Alex is a tough cookie. He's an athlete. He's strong. He's coordinated. He's a lot younger than I am. I think it would be an excellent match.
What's the strategy on your end in defeating A-Rod? How do you beat him in the ring?
Well, it's not going to be on stamina, that's for sure, because I would probably fight him at 58. I would have to go in a lot heavier than him. I would have to push. I'd have to go in about 280 pounds, trained, ready to go lean, and basically just bully him around. Try to just out-muscle him in the ring and hit him with the blunt force trauma.
Let me ask you this, Jose, and I'm sure a lot of other people have asked you this question before. Have you ever thought about extending the olive branch to A-Rod and making peace with him?
Why would I do that? First of all, the guy's a narcissist. He's half crazy. No, absolutely not. I mean, the things that he's done, the way he's actually done them, no, absolutely not.
Is there anything that would have to happen for that to happen? Anything that it would take for you to make peace with him?
If that would ever happen, there's no buts about it. That's not even a relevant question. It just won't happen.
You never see it happening. It's never possible for you and him to make up, to talk about it man-to-man and see if something could come of it.
Absolutely not, because I've actually called him out several times. I've confronted him on social media several times to call me. He won't do it. The issue is he knows he's completely wrong. He knows I'm completely right. He knows that I know him well. He knows that every time I open my mouth, I speak the truth, and that's it. And most people can't handle the truth.
Why do you think he's ignored you? I mean, you guys had a great relationship before. Why do you think now, all of a sudden, years later, he won't even talk to you?
That's a good question for him. You should probably get him on Chicago Sports Radio and ask him, why are you ignoring Jose Canseco?
Jose Canseco, here on Sports Talk Chicago. Jose, is it true that aliens don't like A-Rod?
I don't know of anyone that likes A-Rod, so I have to include that. You know, aliens, Bigfoot, other universes. Yeah, I don't think anybody likes him.
How about some of your other claims on Twitter? I mean, some of them a bit unbelievable. You said that John McAfee and Tupac are still alive. You've been all over the place and gotten so much engagement. Can you confirm any of those?
Well, obviously, people, you can't believe everything you hear on Twitter. There's some things I say that actually are just for fun, to get a laugh or a hoot. And if people are going to sit there and believe everything every individual says on social media, then we have a problem in our society.
What's the next big take you're going to put out on Twitter?
I don't know. You know, obviously I'm working on this invention that I've got, the PX4040, which is pretty much done. I'm going to come out. Hopefully we can get out in the market around Christmas time. It's a power extender. You actually put this thing on your lead arm, and it extends power through the zone, fixes your swing instantly, and extends power through the zone the way it's actually built. It's going to revolutionize the art of power hit.
How did you come up with that idea?
Well, years back, I actually teach the art of power hitting. And people, don't get confused. The art of hitting and the art of power hitting are two different worlds. The art of hitting is basically letting the ball travel deep in the zone and spraying it around, basically staying too far inside the ball. The art of power hitting, it's getting in the proper angle, create proper compression, rotation, and lift. You're maximizing distance. So I created this device that actually puts you in that position every single time you swing, whether it be baseball, softball, or golf.
Are you confident in the ball traveling further with this new invention?
100%. It's basically, when you see the structure of it, it can't do anything but that. It's like a scientific fact.
Is it legal?
Yes. You can actually put it on and use it. I originally created it as a teaching tool, but it kind of evolved also into a product. You can actually put it on an actual game and a softball, baseball, or golf ball, depending on how many strands you actually put on and how much flexing you want. Softball or baseball can go 30, 40 feet further, and a golf ball instantly 30 to 40 yards further.
So what's the next step? You said you plan on coming out during Christmas time. How do you plan on selling this and getting this to the market?
Well, of course, social media, maybe some infomercials, stuff like that. You got to start simple.
How much would today's players in baseball benefit from this?
Wow. It may not benefit the professional Major League Baseball. As a matter of fact, Major League Baseball may outlaw it. And I'll tell you why, because it works too well. It works as an external bionic. So the best thing would be is if I give it to a Major League Baseball player, even a minor league baseball player, they put it on, and somehow Major League Baseball says it's being banned because it works. The major leagues is only 1% of the actual sales market. That's the actual commuter I'm telling you for. The rest is the individual who wants to learn a proper swing, the weekend warriors, the guys that want to hit a golf ball further, baseball further, guys who really are not professional athletes.
Could you see yourself maybe working out a deal with Major League Baseball to bring this to the market, or is that relationship fractured?
That's beyond fractured. My relationship with baseball, because I told the truth, I'm extremely honest, is beyond fractured.
Have you ever had any talks with them recently or after your career about, again, extending the olive branch and making peace and having you come back to be an ambassador of the game?
No, they completely blackballed me, I think, 2001. They completely turned their back on me. Major League Baseball and the Player Association, both. I mean, imagine the Player Association, who are supposed to represent players, completely turned their back on me also. So, no, it's fractured beyond belief.
Why did they target you and no one else? We know of steroid users in the Hall of Fame. We know of steroid users completely backed by the Players Association. Why are you the outlier?
Well, you got to have a scapegoat. You have to have an individual to make an example of. I mean, I did kind of bring steroids into Major League Baseball. I used them. I taught players how to use them properly. I taught trainers how to use them properly with certain diets, certain workout programs. So the mistake Major League Baseball made was they could have gotten steroids out of the league completely. They would have just come to me. I would have told all the players, listen, we got to stop using this stuff. Major League Baseball is going to come down. But they decided to blackball me and thought that I was going to go silently into the night. That's not my character.
How do you feel about baseball promoting steroid use after it came in?
I don't think they verbally or vocally promoted it. They just allowed it. And they knew, of course, early on that the players were using PEDs, using steroids, the whole combination. I think Major League Baseball got pissed off when all these records were being broken. The peers got pissed off. The old baseball players who never used the PEDs got pissed off when, you know, people were hitting 50, 60, 70 home runs on the regular. And, the salary structure kind of fractured also and incrementally went up two or three or four times. And I think that's what Major League Baseball said, wait, this is enough. We have to send a signal to the players. Stop using PEDs. The best way of doing it is by blackballing Jose Canseco. Perfect. It was a perfect scenario.
Do you regret using steroids and introducing them to the game?
I do not, because back then it wasn't against the game. It was a product that was allowed. We had no idea exactly what it did, how it was going to augment an athlete, how it was going to make you bigger, faster, stronger. Major League Baseball knew we were using it. Major League Baseball knew it was spreading like wildfire, and they allowed us to use it. So back then, really, there was no indication, any way, shape, or form, that PEDs or steroids were illegal in Major League Baseball.
How do you feel about the fact that you are blackballed? Like, do you have the desire yourself to be honored by Major League Baseball, to be included back in their family, or no?
I do not, no. Major League Baseball doesn't make me as a person or an individual.
What does make you as a person?
Me, being Jose Canseco. As a matter of fact, even if Major League Baseball says, Jose, some way, shape, or form, we're going to induct you in the Hall of Fame, I would turn it down. I'll tell you why. Simply, Major League Baseball is the most hypocritical institution on this planet, because there are players right now that have been instituted in the Hall of Fame who were in my book, who use PEDs, and they know it. Listen, it's simple. Common sense of mathematics and science will tell you this. Either let everyone in that use PEDs or let none, period. But don't be hypocritical. Don't cherry pick. Don't hand pick and put whoever you want. That's pathetic. And Major League Baseball and its hypocrisy is pathetic.
Who was in your book who's in the Hall of Fame?
I'm not going to talk about players anymore. That's passe. That's way gone. there's no sense in reviving that. Major League Baseball knows what I'm talking about is 100% accurate.
Are you unhappy with that, though? Like, shouldn't you be in the Hall of Fame, too, then, if that's the way they're going to do things?
Absolutely not. No, I should not be in the Hall of Fame. I'll tell you what, my numbers do not mandate that. But the people like the Maguires, the Sammy Sosa's, the Rafael Palmeiros, the Bonds, the Roger Clemens, are you kidding me? It's a joke. Why are those people not in the Hall of Fame? It's sad. It's sickening. It's disgusting. And to me, Major League Baseball's hypocrisy is disgusting. People know what I'm saying is 100% balls on accurate. The problem is that we can't handle the truth.
Do you watch baseball today?
I do not. I never watch sports. I'm not a couch potato. I'd rather be outside doing something physical, working out, not staying home, laying in bed. No, that's not my character, sit there and watch some type of sporting event for 2 or 3 hours.
What's your take on baseball, having juiced baseballs now? Did you know that when you played, or is that new?
Well, my view of baseball is simple. It's gotten a little bit out of control. This thing with the tie game, because of time restrictions, putting a guy on second base, we should do that in softball. That's a joke. I think baseball went a little bit too far. You know, I love the instant replay because that takes the umpires who are on the take, who have been paid off by other institutions, other individuals, gamblers, mafia, whatever you want to call it, out of the game. So I'm glad for some changes in Major League Baseball, but for others, they went too far. I don't think Manfred knows exactly what he's doing to allow some of these ridiculous changes. Listen, you can't put a time restriction on Major League Baseball. That's not the way it was structured. If not, it wouldn't be baseball. It would be something else.
Would you want to be the commissioner of baseball? Do you have any ideas to improve the game right now?
Well, you know, I really don't get into the game that much. I really don't watch that much. I just know some of the changes are just ridiculous, especially that one from second base. Are you kidding me? That changed the game historically around because it gives players less at-bats, less opportunities to break or set records or to augment their actual stats. Also, this thing with a doubleheader, 7-inning doubleheaders now, are you kidding me? What are these people thinking about? It's just that, you know, it's just gotten a little bit too far. It's gotten a little bit too comical. It's just overkill to me.
More to come with Jose Canseco in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Jose Canseco, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Jose, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, did Mark McGuire cork his bat before every game?
No. See, that was a dumb joke that people actually believed it.
What's the truth?
I mean, that's like saying he injected himself before every game. That's a dumb joke because he would blow up like a balloon. You just don't do that. So I think people have to differentiate facts from fiction here. And ironically enough, I don't think some people have the common sense to figure that out.
Well, do you feel like you're misleading some people by putting this out there or no? Don't you feel like you have a responsibility to tell the truth?
Listen, on Twitter, it doesn't say, okay, this Twitter account's based on facts. No, I do not. No, that's ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. What's something you did during your career that no one still knows about?
That I did during my career no one knows about?
Yes.
I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. I think I was pretty normal in some cases. In some cases, outlandish. I stood out. I don't know.
And Jose, before we finish up today, last question. Why should you feed the roaches if you're in jail?
Well, poor things. And it's a true story. I was in jail for about, 4 or 5 months. And under my bed, this one, true story, people, you can't make this shit up. One large roach came out, and I would feed him some bread that would have some leftover from my bologna sandwiches. And he'd take it and eat it and walk away. A couple days later, here comes the same roach. And here comes a smaller one and some smaller ones, like a family. So I kept feeding this boar. Listen, every animal has the right to survive and live. And this boar thing, all he was trying to do was feed his family. So I kept on feeding him.
Jose, thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and best wishes moving forward. Can't wait to see you back in the ring.
All right, guys. The truth hurts, and it always will.
Great talk there with Jose Canseco. That'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Jose Canseco himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbin, Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zaglua. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Here are the turtles!